everybody. This is the meeting of the Pacifica National Board Coordinating Committee for Monday, March 6th. Mary Berg is the secretary of the committee. Mary, can you call the roll, please?
Okay, Mary Berg, well, I'm here. Lydia?
Here.
And Ray? Okay. Ambrose?
Yep.
Deb?
Here.
Dave is here. Sarv, I believe, might be out of town to see his sister.
I received a call from in the hospital where his sister is, and
he
will be calling in as he's available.
Oh, okay. Let's see, Lonnie?
Here.
And Greg?
Here.
So, Teresa? Okay. So, we have... okay. We'll see if anybody else comes on.
So how many are present?
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I think that's quorum.
Seven. The committee members is 10, so that constitutes quorum.
Are there other guests besides Nathaniel, or is he?
Yeah, actually, why don't we go
Teresa?
Down the list?
Oh,
hi, Teresa.
Okay.
Why don't we go down the list of people who are on the call as guests?
Jim Brown.
Jim Brown is here.
Carol Wolf.
I believe Angela Luria.
Yep, it's Angela Luria. It's L-A-U-R-I-A.
Okay. And Nathaniel Adams?
Nathaniel?
Hello, correct.
Okay. Have him.
And are there any other guests right now on the call? Okay, the people who we've just named are here to discuss... the WPFW election dispute. I believe Joe Chiara will also be joining the call at some point to present the arguments of the minority group that are disputing the election results. In the proposed agenda, I've got 40 minutes for the meeting planning for Los Angeles, followed by an hour for the WPFW-PNB representative election dispute, followed by a move to executive session where we'll deal with the review of a legal suit against the foundation and notice of intent to draft new affiliation contracts and our NDA compliance contract. The agenda has been moved. Are there any amendments to that? And in particular, does anybody to reverse the order of items 3 and 4 so that we deal with the PFW election dispute prior to the meeting planning?
Good idea.
So moved, yes.
I'm sorry, what did you move?
You moved number 16. 4 before number 3.
Okay, sorry, missed that.
That way our guests who are on the call don't have to sit around listening to us plan the Los Angeles meeting. Is there any objection to that amendment? Okay, hearing none. Are there any other amendments? Okay, hearing none. Is there any objection to adopting the approved agenda? Hearing none, we'll proceed on that basis. The next item, and actually, can anybody step off and let Mr. Chiara know that we're going to reverse the order, because he had been in contact, wanted to know when it was scheduled, and I sent him this proposed agenda.
I can call him on my cell phone.
Okay, Carol. Good.
Thank you, Carol.
Sure.
Okay, so in the meantime, we're dealing with the approval of prior minutes. Mary Berg has sent around a corrected version of prior minutes. Here we go. These are the PNB teleconference. Have you sent around, Mary, the minutes of the coordinating committee?
Yeah, that's what I sent.
Oh, it's the PNB teleconference. You mean?
My message was screwed up. But the attachment, what's in there today, and what was in there before, was the coordinating committee.
Okay.
Sorry.
I'd just like to comment before there's a motion to approve it. I note that in these minutes, there's an extensive summary of the discussion that took place, and I think that we should have the sections on discussion pulled out of the formal minutes and made an appendix for inclusion, and that the minutes themselves should just include motions and votes.
I move the latter part of your recommendation. It should not be an attachment even.
Okay.
It should report only the action taken.
Okay. So then that would be a motion to ask the secretary to revise the minutes to conform to that.
Sure. Okay.
Okay. Is there any objection to that? Hearing none, that's moved, and we will take a, Mary, if you could get us the revised minutes before the next meeting, we'll approval at the following.
Will do.
Okay. Carol, are you back?
No, she's not back yet. Back.
Okay. I just think it's important before we start on this to that everybody that's going to be talking about it be here to hear the full discussion.
Good.
This is Carol. I just got Joe's voicemail at home and left a message, so I don't know if he's leaving the phone free for the call or what, but I'm not getting an answer at home for him right now.
Okay. Well, we have a decision. I mean, I think it would be very contentious if we start this without their side represented. So given that we don't have him here, might we spend 15 minutes on the training on race and nationality issue while we wait for him to join the call?
That's fine with me.
The problem with that is going to be that we don't yet have Yolanda on the call. She will be here in about 15 minutes or so.
Then why don't we deal with the draft agenda for the meeting?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And is there any objection to doing that?
No.
Okay. The draft agenda that was sent around, it was an error to include the public comment during the middle part of the day during the training session. So we will be moving that into the public part of the meeting in the evening. The rest of that agenda was what Greg and I worked out as a rough outline. And I sent it around to everybody, I believe, a week and a half ago. Is there discussion on that proposed agenda?
This is Teresa. I'll admit, I have not seen the revised. I saw the first one.
Neither.
And made some comments, but...
Yeah, no, it hasn't been revised. What I'm saying is we will make that change that everybody pointed out, that it should not, that the public comment should not come during the retreat.
Well, another one of my concerns is that we're not starting until 10 a.m. on Friday. And, you know, if people are going to come in on Thursday, we may as well start at 9 in the morning and... so that the race and nationality person can have more time devoted to that issue. And you wanted someone to give an update on CPB, and Yolanda was going to talk about, what, something specific or what, something?
Well, I think the intent there was for her, because there have been so many discussions of what her role is, to define what her job is and to also present anything relating to a race and nationality issue that already exists within our own, you know, handbooks or policies. So to give an orientation before we get into the training. And the part afterwards is potentially Carol Pearson giving us a more of a briefing on CPB requirements relative to...
Whoops.
At the end of the training. But, you know, that is all open to discussion at this point.
But if my question is, is what Carol is doing and what Yolanda are doing, is that intruding into the time that the professional, facilitator would need to devote, a fair amount of time to the issue of race and nationality? I mean, we're spending a lot of money. I'm assuming we're going to spend a lot of money on this person, and kind of concerns me that we would spend this money and then only give this person like 4 hours total.
Well, she seemed to be pretty comfortable with 3 or 4 hours. But
she is. Well, I'm just kidding. But I mean,
Mary,
a person would have to be really, really good to help move us a very far distance in a very, very short period of time if we don't have any, like, exercises or more time for dialogue. I mean, do you think a brisk lecture can achieve what we want? Or I guess I'm asking the LSB. I mean, not the, I mean the PMB. If we don't have any dialogue and we don't have any exercises and her presentation is more like a lecture for 4 hours, then is that going to move the body the way we want the body to be moved by this presentation?
Greg, can you answer that? And then Mary,
Yeah. Well, it's not designed to be a lecture to begin with. There would be a presentation, but there also are exercises that are part of this. You know, a couple both in the morning and in the afternoon. She presented me with a kind of a model workshop, though she didn't really rewrite it for us at this point because we haven't committed to her yet, but showed me something that was similar, that was done in a similar amount of time, on institutional racism, understanding its ramifications, and examining strategies to combat it. That's the general workshop that she had given somewhere else. And the objectives are, you know, increasing awareness of the vestiges of institutional racism, how an organization like ours can perpetuate it, and a theoretical framework for understanding the, you know, how to change. And then, you know, within that, she offers both, you know, both her own views and then facilitates discussions. And so it is interactive. I mean, we can give more time to it, but the model that I have here in front of me was done on a similar time basis, where it was you know, 1.5 to 2 hours, and then a break for lunch and Q&A, and then another, you know, 1.5 to 2 hours, you know, in the afternoon. And so it's similar. I mean, if we start earlier, that won't hurt. But I still think you should have a an orientation from Yolanda prior to the workshop. And frankly, the CPB stuff is very pressing. And whether it follows the workshop or happens at another time in the weekend, I think it needs to happen at some point. It just seemed it was appropriate to open and close with those items. But I'm, again, this is preliminary.
Sorry. Go ahead, Mary, and then
This is Ray. Can I go on after that, folks?
Sure.
This is Lydia. Now, this is not the race and nationality portion, though, right, where that's just going to be also a separate discussion on this agenda?
Correct. What we're dealing with now is the rest of the agenda.
Okay, then please add
me
to the agenda, then.
Yeah, but she's asking me about that part of it, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Mary?
Can I go? Okay. Yeah, I had, it looked an awful lot more like board training with a little bit of stuff on, you know, institutional racism. And I take your point, Greg, that she did conduct one somewhere along the four-hour model. But what we had asked for was, and what we had unanimously let the board had agreed to and apparently wanted, was a full day. And that would require something more intensive than what I think is proposed here. I think the CPB part should be in the public session anyway. I mean, this is not a private thing. So but if there's some way we can incorporate that somewhere else, that would be fine. And maybe Yolanda's presentation might be, I don't know why that's an executive session. Maybe parts of it should be. But what the role of the HR person is might well go in a public section too, and I really would like to see the day on this. I mean, we are spending money, so if we spend some more, this is what we talked about. And I don't think that what I read and what I hear you saying is just kind of, well, it doesn't, I don't think it's going to advance our actual, I don't think it's going to deal with the racism that it exists in people.
So you'd like 6 hours rather than four?
I would certainly hope so.
At this point, I'm going to interject that the reason we did it that way, the reason we started a little later and left time afterwards, is because these things tend to be like marathons in which we don't actually get adequate time to relate to each other. We don't get adequate rest, and I felt that undermines a lot of the goals. So that we purposely wanted to leave an hour and a half after the training session to allow people to interact, to talk about it, react to it, and the rest. And then 9 a.m. is because people are traveling, and we want them to be well-rested, fresh, and ready when we start, and start on time, as opposed to what we often do, which is schedule meeting start times, and then the people are late anyway. But we wanted to be as realistic as possible. But again, as Lydia pointed out, we'll deal with the question of the content of the training in a little while. This is sort of the overall framework of the meeting. Ray, you're up.
Yes, so I apologize. I just came from Albany, which is the capital of New York State. I just said a three-hour drive, so I apologize for not getting one earlier. I'm just looking at the material now. It came today. I didn't see it. But I realize there are different ways to do it, and I'm willing to look at it. But to me, I agree with the notion that this is something we've been waiting for a long time, that is absolutely necessary. And if we're going to do it, let's do it right. I hear your point that you want to break it, but I'm actually sure that it would not distract people, that CBB issue is very important. There's no doubt. But I'd like to be sure that we have enough time and that we can question. Unless the trainer herself or himself felt that it was better to break it up like that, I would be in favor of having enough time and do it straight. Also, that would apply to me, to the public comment. I'm not sure what at 1:30, I'm not sure what the rationale is there, except maybe what Dave was saying.
That's just an error. We're going to move that into the public session.
Okay.
So don't worry about that part.
So again, then, so that's, I'm kind of echoing what I heard before.
Okay. Lydia? Oh, by the way, I heard somebody else come on the line. Who was that?
Joe Chiara.
Good. Okay, Joe's here. Well, since Joe is here, can we defer the rest of this conversation and get to the election issue now? Would that be all right?
Can I just make my last comment before I lose this? I think I'm last on the stack. We can revisit it later. But at the PMB meeting, I had raised the issue of the STV training that's been proposed by the Los Angeles Election Group, and I would like to, when we come back after the PFW discussion, actually it'll be very timely to discuss it at that juncture, is that if it could be at one or the other end of the meeting, which means perhaps either extending it to Thursday at some point, or people staying over on Sunday and finding some way to facilitate a large enough chunk of time to benefit from the STV training, which would be actually doing a mock election. And I think it's critical. It's what the bylaws calls for, is an understanding of STV, and most of us don't have that understanding. And it seemed to have a lot of support when we were at the PMB meeting, and I've raised it on more than one occasion because of the PFW issue, so I would like to see it on the agenda. I do feel strongly about that, but let's move on to the PFW.
Okay. Well, so we'll do that. We'll come back to that question. Who's going to keep time? Mary, can you do that while you're doing all the minute taking? Okay.
No, my watch at the board, I'm looking at 9:55, right? Here. I'm sorry, 8:55 now.
Okay.
Eastern, right?
Right.
So I'm going to count from there.
So we've got an hour set aside for this, and I think the best thing... How many sides to this are there? Is there two sides? Are there four sides? What are we dealing with here? Carol, can you give me a sense of how many different points of view are going to be brought forward?
Well, I think that only two points of view, I would think. There's one point of view that feels that the election should stand, and reflected in the report, the details are there on how the election was conducted and why decisions were made that were made. So I think that that's one point of view, and then I think there's another point of view, which is that, I would rather that the other point of view spoke for itself, but I believe that's the two points of view. One, that the election should stand for the reasons that I've given in my report, and then another point of view that for some reason they should not stand. I don't know that there would be more points of view than that.
And of the five guests, we have Jim Brown, we have yourself, we have Angela Luria, we have Nat Adams, and we have Joe Chiara. How many of those people are speaking basically in support of one view? How many of the other? And how many are just simply here to be here as factual resources for us?
My sense, and I would ask the people on the line to correct the impression if it's not correct, but I would say that Jim Brown and I are both here to give our reasons why we think the election should stand, and I would say that Angela Luria and Nathaniel Adams are here as resources, partly because I consulted with them from January 4th through a couple of LSB meetings. I turned to them for opinions and guidance. So I would say that they're on the line as resource in case we have questions for them. But let me ask them to say if that's what their understanding is or not. And I'm assuming that Joe is here with the other point of view.
Okay. Angela and Nat, is what Carol described your understanding of this as well?
Yeah, that's what I feel. Resource.
Agreed.
And Nathaniel?
Agreed.
Okay. So then why don't we, if there's no objection, do you think you could, Carol and Jim, you could present your presentation in, say, 10 minutes, and then Joe, maybe since he's one person representing a number of people, maybe we give 5 or 6 minutes to him, and then we'll go from there into questions. Would that be all right?
That's
and
fine.
Either party can make reference to Angela and Nathaniel as needed.
Mm-hmm. Mary Berg here.
Is that adequate time for you, Joe?
That should be fine, yeah. I mean, if the people have read what was distributed today, you know, I have really nothing terribly much to add verbally that's not there, so.
I would
Joe,
never
was
count
something
on people reading anything in detail.
Joe.
As a matter of practice.
Can I ask if there was something distributed today, I'm not sure that I got it.
No, I didn't either, Joe.
Well, I sent
I didn't
it
either.
To the committee, so that's how it was distributed.
Because I've got my email open
from,
now.
It came from you?
From you,
Joe?
Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Joe sent it to me and asked that I distribute it to the committee. I did send it to the committee as soon as I received it today, and I did. It was sent. Let me see here.
I couldn't open mine, Dave.
Oh, really? Okay.
No.
Well, then, Joe, I think you're going to have to present. I did not know the other guests were going to be on the call,
okay.
So I didn't send them.
Mm.
But, Joe, so
Dave,
why
can you tell us what the subject matter was? Because I don't see it.
Actually, may I ask if Joe is at his computer now, could he send it to
I
us?
I have one line coming in, that's all, so I can't.
Okay, okay.
I can resend it, and hang on, I'm looking to see. Here we say, the line is minority report from WPFW, and I see what happened. I sent it to coordinating committee 2005, not 2006. So that's why Ambrose has it, and Ray has it, and Lonnie has it, but the rest of you do not. I am going to resend it. I'm very sorry.
Okay.
I'll send it
so I can download it, Dave. I can't download
yeah.
it.
Okay. All right. So I will open it then. And okay. Great. So I'll do that. Carol, why don't you go ahead and you and Jim can divide the next 10 minutes as you like, and then Joe to speak. Okay.
Okay. And actually, I would suggest that maybe we take 5 or 6 minutes, and then reserve some time for after we've had a chance to review Joe's report and hear him, since we have not had an opportunity to review
to see
it.
This, yes.
Okay.
Is that okay, Dave?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. So.
Okay.
6 minutes. Is that correct?
Uh-huh.
And I am very briefly going to review what I sent. I'm going to certainly not go into all of the details because that's why the report is there. But very briefly, we had a special open meeting off the WPFW local station board on January 4th, and that meeting was called for the purpose of electing WPFW's officers and the PNB representatives for 2006. the elections for the officers and the staff PNB representative were concluded successfully. The difficulty arose in tabulating the votes for the listener representatives to the PNB. And Jim Brown was, Jim Brown came with the software loaded on his computer to tabulate the votes. We started the elections with two independent representatives. Ray Whitfield was one and Dorcas DeSasso the other. Ray was not able to stay for the entire meeting, and he left, I believe, shortly after the officer elections were concluded. I asked Dorcas to submit a report on what she observed, and that's also included as an appendix with the report that I provided. I see, basically, I think there are two issues that have been questioned, one being the ballots having been taken away from the meeting to complete the tabulations. The ballots were actually all, the results of the ballots were actually all entered into the software during the meeting. As Dorcas was with Jim, each of the ballots was entered into the software, but Jim could not get the software to execute. It was getting late, and we were not in our station. We were at rented meeting space, and we needed to vacate the premises. So the suggestion was made that Jim would take the ballots with him. As his report states, he either didn't know or had forgotten that Angela had moved to Connecticut, so he said he would take the ballots to her and get her advice on completing the software program and then report back to the chair, who would then distribute the results the following day. So that's one issue. That was announced at the meeting. No one raised any objections to that plan. So we proceeded with that plan, and that's one of the issues, is the ballots having left the premises and having the software executed the next day. The second issue is around the two ballots that were disqualified. One disqualified for duplicate rankings, and the other for having used letters instead of numbers to rank the candidates. And I will say that once the votes were tabulated, Jim's report, I will let Jim speak to exactly how that happened, but Jim and Angela did speak on the phone, and he was able to, with Angela's guidance, get the program to execute, and the results were determined, and they were emailed to the whole LSB. Once the results were posted, then there were challenges to the process and to the disqualified ballots. I wanted very carefully at that point to look into what the concerns were and what the options were. I don't know how to do that kind of vote counting, so I never made an attempt to see, you know, what the results would be if the ballots were counted differently. I wanted to make the decision based on what would be the fairest way and the most correct way to proceed. It seemed to me that overturning a valid election would be a very unfair thing to do, as would accepting an invalid one. So that was the reason that I spoke with Angela on the phone and also with our parliamentarian. And with their input, came to the conclusion that it was a legitimate decision to disqualify the two ballots, and we had conducted the election with everyone knowing what the process was, and there were no complaints until after the results were announced. So, and I think one of the things that I used is guidance in coming to the conclusion about the duplicate rankings is that, you know, there were questions about were the instructions clear enough, and the ballot actually had the instructions print. Every ballot actually had the instructions printed on the ballot. So I looked for any documentation that I could find to help guide the decision. So at our next meeting, which was on January 11th, there was heated discussion about the election, but there was a motion made to accept the results of the election, and that motion passed. And the minutes are attached to my report. Following that meeting, Jane Gatewood distributed 10-day notice with a motion to rescind the vote. And at our next LSB meeting on February 8th, again, there was debate and discussion, and a vote was taken, and the motion to rescind failed. It was a roll call vote, and those are draft minutes. They haven't been approved yet by the LSB, but so those are draft minutes, but the vote failed. So from my point of view, it looks to me as if the LSB has had on three different occasions voted for our current PNB representatives, being A.C. Byrd, Rob Robinson, and Zarina Shakir. First time when we held the election on January 4th, then in a vote to accept the election results, and then in a third vote where the motion to rescind failed. So I think I will stop there and ask Jim if he has anything he would like to add.
That's actually nine.
Is that the time?
That's 9 minutes of the 10. I didn't want to interrupt you in the process, but
okay.
I just want people to know that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Just very briefly, the only thing I would add is that during the election, I was speaking to Angela during the first election. I was speaking to Angela via my cell phone to get another problem corrected that I was having with the software, and that was that was resolved. On the next day, when I think I spoke to Angela on the phone that day, and that's when I discovered that she was out of town, and I was going to either email her the ballots or something of that sort. But by the time I spoke to her, I had figured out a lot of what was going wrong with the software, and was able to just confirm it with her. And basically what it was as I entered the ballots, and I was putting spaces in between them so they wouldn't tabulate properly, you know, and that was a mistake I was making. So I just went in and took out the spaces and was able to get the software to run.
And just to corroborate that a little bit, the particular mistake that Jim made is one that I've made. The software is very picky, mm-hmm. and it's a free version, and
just
so there's no bells and whistles. So
Choice Plus version.
We were using Choice Plus Lite.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
okay.
Right. I've used that and have the same problem.
Yeah, so it's a very common problem, and my feeling when I talked to Jim, he called me first thing the next morning. I think we were talking at 9 o'clock in the morning, mm-hmm. and my feeling was it was probably, he'd run a bunch of them fine. We'd run a bunch together, you know, in practicing together, mm-hmm. just to make sure he knew how. My feeling was it was probably late. There was probably a lot of stress to get out of the building in time,
mm-hmm.
and so I, having run elections for WPFW, know that particular mistake is something I could have made. I don't know that, you know, he did or he didn't. I obviously wasn't there, but I know that's completely something I could have done because it's such just a picayune little piece of software that if you're just not paying attention, it's such a small mistake, hard to catch.
Mm-hmm.
So once he said that, I was like, I know what you did. I've done that. And so we kind of agreed that he didn't need me to rerun it because it wasn't that he was running it wrong. It was just he made this mistake, and once he fixed it, he was able to see the result.
If I can interrupt, this is not a software issue.
We'll get to Joe in just a moment. I think that who else was just speaking right now in the background?
That's Yolanda just signed in. Hello,
hi, Yolanda. Yolanda, we're going to be spending about another half hour to 40 minutes on the WPFW election issue. So if you'd like to pop off and come back on in 40 minutes, I'm quite sure we'll still be on this.
I can do that.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Great.
Take
Thank
care.
You so much.
Okay.
And just to address...
Can I make a request?
Yes.
Will identify themselves before they speak so we're able to follow more clearly?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, please
okay,
do.
Okay, thank you.
And I just will say, I mean, as far as Joe's comment about it not being a software issue, I've had the same problem.
Look in the bottles up in the shelf.
Someone else is talking. I can't hear the meeting.
Yeah. Okay.
By the way, on this service, *6 is a toggle switch to mute you. So if you need to be talking to other people, if there's noise in the background, go with *6. Okay. So that takes the time that.
And just to quickly address Joe's concern, it'll take me half a second. I agree with the concept that I'm not trying to say that I know what Jim was doing on the other end of the phone. All I'm saying is, from my perspective, the problem he had seemed like a very normal one to me, so it didn't raise any red flags at the time. Whether it should have is another issue, but it didn't, and I, completely understood where he was coming from. Whether or not that was true or not, I'm not saying. It was just my perspective.
Okay. All right. So now, Joe, you have about, let's say, 6 minutes in which to present your views.
Okay.
Go to discussion.
Sure. I think, Richard Phelps presented a very detailed discussion more than once about what the bylaws require and what took place at WPFW, and they are contradictory. Okay? A resolution or a vote by WPFW or any LSB cannot void the responsibilities of fulfilling the bylaws, particularly, I think, in something so important as an election. In my view, Jim Brown should have never been involved in the election at all, as no other LSB member should have been involved. We were not told in advance, we being other members of the LSB, not told in advance how this election would be conducted, and there was no opportunity to suggest alternative forms which, took out of play any potential conflict of interest with a board member counting votes for other board members. So that's one thing. Both Jim Brown and Carol Wolf knew that Angela Loria was in Connecticut. I mean, Angela has said this to me, has written this to me, so this sort of lapse of memory that they didn't know where she was, I mean, I just don't know what to say about that. It just reminds me of other sort of things that I've heard that are also not quite believable. Let's see, I'm trying to go down this list. as far as there was suggestion made that Jim take the ballots home by himself, that suggestion was never heard by many people at that meeting, because as it was described, it was the end of the meeting, people were talking over each other, there was people were getting ready to pack, we were under time pressure to leave, and so there was no call to order, there was no discussion on this, there was no presentation of this as what we wanted to do, and so this was done, basically by a few people. Not with any consent as has been implied. Third, the fact that there was no objections, that's simply not true. Okay? Although we didn't hear, some of us didn't hear that the suggestion, we knew that the ballots needed to be protected. Mark Roberts said the ballots have to stay with at least two people. Now, obviously, that was going to be impractical. I said and spoke into the microphone that what we need to do, and I wrote it down here, what we need to do is put the ballots in an envelope, have them sealed, have the back of the envelope signed over the seal until it's opened properly the next day. This was not done. So, and this was said into the microphone. Now, unfortunately, Jim, who was in charge of recording, didn't have a tape in the machine, as I understand it, at that time, so that was never recorded. So, you know, the issue here is not who won the election. I couldn't care less, frankly, who won the election. You know, I have my preferences, but so what? I have my preferences about a lot of things, and if they don't come to fruition, you know, and I don't start, complaining about it. You know, what I'm interested in is a fair process. This is utterly fundamental to any organization, that a fair process above board, you know, without any implications of mischief or possibility of mischief be in place. If that is not part of an organizational framework and philosophy, then the organization is doomed to, you know, slip into all sorts of games by people that have intentions other than what's best for the organization, what's functional. So this strikes at the heart of the integrity of what Pacifica is. Frankly, I think the local LSB has done a lot to tarnish its own reputation based on its votes, but its votes are not final. The Pacifica National Board has ultimate responsibility for this, for enforcing and being faithful to Pacifica bylaws. That's all I have to say.
Okay.
Thank you. Now,
he's only used 3 minutes, so I guess if he wants to.
I'll take questions, for the 3 minutes.
Before we go there, I just want to say, rather than go straight into motions and consideration, I would like to agree by common consent that we'll allow 15 to 20 minutes for members of the committee to ask questions or make whatever comments they have about this before we start with the consideration of the motions. Is there any objection to doing that?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Having never read Joe's proposal, because I don't see it online anywhere, I'd like to just clarify some of the points that he'd made, if that's okay with you.
Sure. Why don't we let him use up the end of his time, and then we can have responses.
If I can give the 3 minutes over to a question period, I'd prefer to do that.
Okay, great. Well, then why don't you go ahead?
Dave, again, can people identify themselves, please?
That was Joe PR.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. So how do we want to do this, Joe? Are you including the clarifications from Jim in that question period?
No, the questions for the board.
Okay.
That'll come out of their time if they have additional time.
Okay. So why don't we do that for several more minutes, and then we'll ask for additional comments. Is there anybody who would like to ask Joe a question about his presentation?
Well, I would. Is Mary Berg here? Is this a question for Joe, or I think it would be more productive if Joe could answer questions as we got into the. I mean, it seems odd that he has to answer, and then his time is gone, and then everybody else can be open for discussion. I had a question about the procedure. Is it appropriate to ask now?
Why don't you go ahead and ask it now?
Okay, I have a couple of questions. Actually, it appears from Carol's statement and from what I read that all the ballots were entered into Jim's computer. So I don't understand any need to take the ballots, that Jim had to look at the ballots anymore. The report states that he and Dorcas double-checked that the entries were correct. So we have a situation where ballots should have gone to a neutral person sealed up, as everything I know about election procedure, and I've been involved for several years in that, that's what you do. And there's utterly no need, so I'm puzzled about that. I'm also, in the disqualifying of the ballots, I see that there's instructions on them that there can be no duplicates. But as to the other thing, putting letters rather than numbers, we have had extensive procedural stuff developed. I'm from KPFA, and we also have the Fair Proportional Representation Organization here that I have belonged to, the Fair Voting group. And you look for the intent of the voter. Now, whether they use letters or X's or what they do, if they want to put one X for one and two for another, then you interpret that as really one and two. Now, you've limited it to numbers on the ballot, so specifically, which I don't know, you know, no duplicates, that's that. But as to the numbers, it seems very clear that if a person puts letters, that's their intention, and I don't understand the validity that anyone might have for avoiding such ballots. Those instructions from the sample I have here were not on the ballots. The only instruction that I saw was no duplicates are permitted. It says enter the numbers, but it doesn't say if you don't use numbers and you use letters, your ballot will be voided. And without that proper notice, I'm really questioning the you know, removal of that ballot. And lastly, the report of this whole process, maybe I missed this, and maybe it's in here because it's very detailed, but I missed the actual count, the actual rounds that were come. When we give results, we always go
in there.
Round one, round
it's
two.
In there.
It is, okay, that could be my error. So we'll strike that from the questions, but my first two stand.
Why don't you ask the people who shouldn't be who are appropriate to respond?
Okay.
To respond to Mary's questions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Carol, I'll take the one on the letters if you.
Yes,
like.
Yes, that's fine. I think that on why the ballots went with Jim was because we didn't know what the difficulty was at that point. We didn't know if they would need to be referred to again. It was after he spoke with Angela on the phone that the difficulty was resolved. But we didn't know if he would have to refer to them again. So that was the reason that they went with him. And Jim is correct me or
that's correct. And I actually didn't have to refer to them again.
Okay. And Angela, you go ahead on the.
The issue in the letters, and Jim and I talked about this. I, you know, generally agree that, you know, or I specifically agree you are looking for intent of the voter, and if the intent is clear, you need to accept those votes. The problem with the letters was the candidates were assigned letters. The way that Choice Plus Lite voting works is that the candidates have letters. So it is at least theoretically confusing. Again, I haven't seen this ballot, but it's theoretically confusing. Are they saying that they're putting candidate A as number one? You know, if the letter A is next to the number one, and then there's the candidate's name and their letter, are they saying candidate A is number one, or are they saying number one for candidate A? So the problem is that the candidates are assigned letters. So that's where the confusion is.
And I would just like to add that there is a sample ballot, Appendix 5, and the instructions do say the ballot should be marked by ranking the candidates in order of choice by writing a 1 next to your first choice, a 2 next to your second choice, and so on.
All right, if I can jump in. Again, you know, it's the intent.
Actually, Joe, before you do that, I'd like to raise one other point, which is the deletion, the disallowing, duplicate rankings. Duplicate rankings are explicitly allowed in single transferable voting. So, Angela, could you describe why the rules of the election excluded duplicate rankings?
Yeah. Jim and I talked about this. Unfortunately, I wasn't even asked to run the election.
Mm-hmm.
Had I been asked to run the election, and when I ran this particular part of the election last year, I did allow duplicate ranking, but I personally couldn't figure out how to make the Choice Plus Lite system do that. I consulted with Caleb Kleppner on this, who ran the BAI elections, and he told me to forget it. So when I did it last year, I did it by hand. In this case, what I understand to be the case is that it was actually a sixth place vote,
mm-hmm,
that was duplicate ranked,
mm-hmm,
and of course by that point you get to sixth places, there's a lot of fractions involved, so again we just didn't know how to make the software do it. So the decision was, Jim and I were talking the day before the election about this, we didn't know how to figure out how to do it, so we figured it would be better to not have that option, since I could do it manually but I couldn't be there. And we didn't know how to make the software do it. So it was literally just a matter of skills.
Okay, again, you know,
Joe, did you want to respond?
Yeah, please. Again, I mean, you know, you can't, because software doesn't do something, you can't change the bylaws or the voting rules. I mean, this is ridiculous. And frankly, it's not about, you know, these two ballots in particular. It's about the ballots not having a chain of custody that has integrity to it. You know, that's what it's about. Jim Brown should have never been involved in this election to begin with, because he's a member of the LSB. No member of the LSB should have been involved. You know, we had no notice that he was going to be involved to play this role, and, you know, we went along with it, you know, on the basis of some degree of trust. Okay, that degree of trust, as far as I'm concerned, was breached, and this just proves the reasons for the rules and processes that are in the PNB bylaws. And those things have to be sacrosanct for this organization to function above board with transparency, with integrity, with truthfulness, and with responsibility.
Jim, may I
respond?
Yes, please.
Excuse me, is this Jim?
Yeah, this is Jim. With just to give the board a bit more, the committee a bit more information, how I got involved in actually calculating the votes was, as of last year, we had a problem where we did our first part of our election that Angela ran. The second part we did on a different day that Angela could not be there. So that's, she taught me how to run the election, the software. I ran the election for the board at that time. That's how we elected all of our officers for last year. Okay? So that was the first time I used the software. So then this year, of course, you know, not using this, the software for a whole year or so, of course I had to be familiarize myself with it all over again. And, when we got to the meeting, it was announced that I had bought the computer with the software on it, and that I was going to count enter the ballots into the computer and give the results. It was something that everyone at the meeting knew about, and it was not something that was just thrown upon people, you know, at the last minute. At the very end of the meeting, when the decision was made to take the ballots in, it was announced to everyone, and everyone there agreed. No one objected to it. I never heard an objection from anyone. Had I heard an objection from anyone, we could have gone to another location and spent the rest of the night figuring out the problem, because I did not want that particular responsibility.
But before we go on, I would like to just sort of exclude this issue with the concern of the committee. I don't consider whether you, Jim, as a person, were a person doing this one way or another to be the basis for a dispute to an election. To me,
exactly.
You are the exclusion of ballots and possible remedies, and the way that votes, you know, occurred subsequently. For example, you know, to say that a majority vote validates an election if a minority that was supposed to be protected by STV has a question about it, that's a substantive question. Whether or not it's you or not you, to me, does not invalidate the election, and I assume that other people, if we looked at other LSBs, we would find that LSB members were involved. We may want to establish a practice for the future on that point, but I would like personally not, for us, unless either party feels that that's a crucial item in the discussion of the basis for possibly overturning an election, I'd like us not to spend time on that. Does somebody feel that it's absolutely a central question?
This is Lydia.
Go ahead, Lydia.
Okay. I don't think it's an essential question. However, I think it is a question to other PMB members. I know that Don White had expressed concern, and since this may go back to the PMB for a vote, I think, and since we are streaming, I don't think that you should exercise your prerogative to exclude
any particular aspect of this. I think we should just proceed with a question and answer.
Can I have 20 seconds? This is Joe Kiar. Can I have 20 seconds? Look, you know, this is not about, you know, Jim Brown as an individual. It's about, you know, the process. And if the election were counted with two witnesses there that night, no one would have complained. The issue is that the software plus the ballots were taken off site by a single individual in an insecure manner, and that is not allowed. That is a violation of the bylaws. It goes to the integrity of the process. I'm here to talk about integrity of the process. I'm not talking about, you know, particular outcomes of this election. And as far as everybody heard, that's baloney. And I could say it in a different manner, but that's baloney. Both Mark Roberts and I made objections, you know, not based on anything we heard, but based on what we knew needed to be the process in place to ensure the integrity of the election.
I would like to say that I did not hear any objections. If there were sidebars,
well, if the
I didn't
software, if the recordings would have been working as they should have been, since that also was Jim's responsibility, you would have heard it in replay. But since that's
okay.
Not available, what can I say?
Okay, I'd like to. The fact that somebody doesn't hear it doesn't mean it didn't happen. But there's, people can disagree. What I would like to do now is go to the committee and have committee members able to ask questions.
Sure.
Who would like to ask?
Do we have a question?
I think also in addition to questions, if you'd like to make some comments at this point, that's fine too. Go ahead, Ray.
Okay. One question is addressed to Jim. I want to be clear that because I had to hang up and come back, so I want to make sure to note whether because Jim just said that we have to do the stuff over again, get the result again. Are you saying, Jim, that the result of the election was clear to everybody? It was just a matter of I'll let you explain. Before you left. And to Joe, as in one of the discussions from people, I don't remember who, from the WPFW, someone referred to a Robert's Rule segment that says specifically that if you disqualify a ballot, that you have to submit that decision to the board itself. So that if you decide that ABC is not valid, let's assume that it's not, or that certain individuals think it's not, that it's supposed to be presented to the body. And that this was not followed. So,
Jim and then Joe, do you want to respond to that?
Ray, if I understand your question, you were asking if I'm sorry, you have to repeat your question because I lost part of it.
I'm asking, was the result of the election clear before you left?
No, it was not clear. That's why we wanted to do that. What happened was the only thing that we did, we tried to do it by hand, but we didn't know how to do the fractions and the transfer of votes and so forth and so on. And we were not able to get something, to get a result that we could, that we felt comfortable with.
Carol, I'm sorry, did you have something?
I was just going to ask if we could ask our parliamentarian's opinion on the question about bringing the ballots to the board if they're disqualified, because I think our parliamentarian may have some comments on that.
Okay, and then we'll go to Joe. Go ahead, Nathaniel.
Restate your question, Carol, and how you want to.
Or could we...
Ray, why don't you restate what you were asking about the presentation of ballots?
The fact that ballots had to be...
The point was made that Robert's Rule dictates that invalidating a vote, that position has to be presented to the body, for the body to vote on that, to agree or disagree with that position. And I understand that this was not done.
Mm-hmm.
So I was asking... as to why this was not done. Was it because people didn't realize that that would exist? And so on. I'd like to hear from the parliamentarian also.
But the validity of the particular ballot would be decided upon if the persons who observe the ballot.
Don't bother, I'll take care of it.
You're going to have to speak a lot louder because there's background noise.
I can't hear him. So.